Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It's the story of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There are a lot of songs that we enjoy singing at Christmas time. One has a line that says, "Oh, what fun it is to ride in a what?" Man, I was out there greeting people, and I didn't see a single person come in a one-horse open sleigh. Or we sing, "I'm dreaming of a..." Are we? Maybe. Or "Let it snow." We had enough snow in February, right? That'll hold us for a while. Or in church, we have a hymn that we're going to sing Sunday, "In the Bleak Midwinter." Y'all know we're not having the bleak midwinter this weekend. It's California weather, right? T-shirt and shorts, it feels like. There's an incongruity between what the songs picture and what we experience. Some of you might experience incongruity tomorrow morning when you go and open all those presents that you find under your tree. Some of you might find a really big box under there, and you open it, and you're thinking there's going to be a really big gift in here. But somebody's pranking you, and there's a little bitty tiny thing in there. Or maybe it's a little tiny box, and you think, "Oh, there's a little tiny thing," and you open it up, and it's car keys. Man, that's a big gift, isn't it? There's an incongruity sometimes between what we see and what we experience. Or we have this package that we're opening, and we know who it's from, and we know we told them what we wanted. And the box is just the right size for that, and we're opening it with that expectation. We open it up, and it's socks. There's an incongruity between what we expect and what we experience. Did you hear some of the incongruities in the message of the angels as Kevin read our scripture tonight. This angel talked about a Savior, a Messiah, a Lord. They expect one thing. They expect somebody to come and deliver them right then and there. They expect a Messiah who will be a conquering hero, who will deliver them from oppression. They expect one thing. Reality is somewhat different. There's an incongruity between expecting a Messiah, somebody like another King David, and finding a baby. They knew what a Messiah could do for them. They knew that what a Messiah could do in bringing them salvation and bringing them deliverance. What good would a baby do? Oh, sure, the baby'd be cute, but how far does cuteness take us? There's another obvious incongruity here. The one being declared to them, this Jesus is the Messiah, the King, the Deliverer. Where do you expect to find somebody with titles like that? Oh, you go to the palace, right? The palace is where you find the King. Or maybe you go to the fortress where you expect to find the soldier, the one that's going to deliver you by leading his armies. They go to a stable, and they find him lying in a manger. There's an incongruity between Jesus' status and where they find him. There's some other, maybe less obvious incongruities here. The angel says, joy to the world. And the shepherds might be thinking, angel, don't you know what's happening in the world? Look who's in charge. Look at Caesar Augustus. I mean, the Romans say peace, but what they mean is their armies are here crushing us. Or Herod. He calls himself Herod the Great. And he's just another upstart. Or we might hear that message today, joy to the world. We look at the world around us, pandemic, wave after wave after wave. We look at the international threats. We see Russia massing its troops on the borders of Ukraine. We hear in our country about political division and conflict. We know every time we go shopping about inflation. How can there be joy? There's an incongruity between what we see and what the angel says. The last incongruity that I'll mention isn't between what we expect and what we see. It's between what we hear and what we want. The angel says, I bring you good news. I bring you gospel that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. As Isaac Watts puts it in his hymn that we'll be singing in a little bit. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Tonight, we might feel our need for a Savior. We might perceive our sin. We might perceive our brokenness. We might perceive our need for God. But do we feel our need for a Lord? Maybe there's an incongruity between what we want and what God's offering us in Jesus. We want someone who will fix things, who will fix things in our lives for us, and then leave us alone to do as we please. It would help us to listen to more of how Isaac Watts translates this. Let the earth receive her king. This is what we might call a wish prayer. He's not saying, Lord, let the earth receive her king. He's saying, let the earth receive her king. Can we pray that tonight? When we look at what's going on in our community, when we look at what's going on in our country, when we look at what's going on in our world, can we say, let the earth receive her king? We know that cuts against the grain of a culture bathed in individualism, that's bathed in emphasizing our own personal autonomy of doing what we want when we want to do it. Let the earth receive her king. This is good for us, good for the world. Isaac Watts continues, let every heart prepare him room. Getting a little metaphorical here, we heard the story about how Mary and Joseph are coming into town, into Bethlehem from Nazareth. And there's no room for them in the inn, no extra bedroom for them with their relatives. They have to go find a stable, stay with the animals, lay their baby in a manger. Is there room in our heart tonight for Jesus? Is there room in our heart tonight for the Lord who offers himself to us? For the Lord who comes as Lord, not just a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. And Watts continues, and heaven and nature sing, this Lord, Jesus, God in the flesh, such good news that all of creation will sing for joy. The humans, yes, the trees will sing, the rocks will cry out, the rocks of the rivers, the mountains will all cry out, glory to God. And the good news is we get to do that too. Tonight there is no incongruity between what God's done for us in Christ and our worshiping him with our total being. Some of you tonight, you've had a hard year. You're hungry for joy. You feel the need for it deep in your soul. Tonight is the night for you. The night for that message. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Christ is born. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the great joy that you offer us in the birth, the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you so much for his life given for us. Help us tonight to prepare our hearts for him, to make room for him as he comes and makes his home in us. And let our lives be transformed in such a way that we live out your joy and your peace in a world that so desperately needs both. Amen.